for breakfast. Ayy, and I woke up like Hugh Hefner. Ayy, I had to switch out all my old hoes. Ayy, and I just got back from Tokyo. Ayy, I put spice on all my chucks now. Ayy, I'm in Pluto, I ain't coming down. Ayy, and I'm cooking Amy Winehouse. Ayy, and it's stinking up the whole house. Ayy, I be mix matching designer. Ayy, I get $100 lineup. Ayy, I bought the.
What's poppin', everybody? Thank y'all for tuning in to this episode of the Being Technical Podcast. For those new listeners out there, my name is Aaron Bien, where I'm being, while I'm always technical, but not always practical. And for my continuous listeners, I appreciate y'all for tuning in. For anyone that's new out there and haven't want to hear any other takes and other episodes I have, this episode as well as my previous ones are available on all major platforms: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as well as available on Overcast, as well as you can stream it straight from the Anchor app. Appreciate y'all for taking time out of your day, whenever that may be, for tuning in and listening to some of these takes and opinions I may have. Hopefully everyone's came down to earth and isn't currently in the moon with a dog coin. I know that's been a frenzy for the last couple days, if not a couple weeks, obviously with Elon Musk and his whole cryptocurrency dog coin, as well as the other cryptocurrencies everyone seems to be purchasing. I'm sure some of y'all made some money off the cryptocurrency. Obviously, I'm not huge into cryptocurrency just because I don't really know too much about them. And then it's just something about trendy things that are on the internet that people like to hop on, and they, you know, and for some reason, I just don't ever put too much stock in them. Especially when you start seeing ads for Dogecoin, it's like I get a little suspicious when it's like, all right, obviously they are trying to get as many people as possible. I'm always skeptical until proven otherwise. I just have a feeling there's always a but when it comes to it. And obviously, I know a few years ago there was Ripple. Everyone was crazy and investing in Ripple, and obviously, and I don't hear much about it. Might be making a bounce back. I know with the cryptocurrency, there's so many of them out there. I truly never know which ones are valid and which ones are useful and which ones are actually profitable and not just a hot little trend. Obviously, cryptocurrency could be the next future way of currency and how people make purchases. I know some professional teams out there and some businesses are even accepting these cryptocurrencies as purchasing power. You can use those to buy their products or services. But please, people, for the life of you, please just make sure you guys know what you are doing. Make sure you guys aren't just throwing your money blindly into something just because it's trendy. Obviously, I know we had the whole craze with AMC, Nokia, and GameStop due to the Reddit community, and I know a lot of people cashed in on that. A little spurt, cashed out, and took out the big boys, the man. But keep in mind, folks, all these so-called... It's the problem that I have is with those basement stock investor brokers that think all of a sudden they know they're these some kind of investors and they know what they're talking about, when there's literally people out there that spend years upon years and even went to school for and done years and years of research that actually have knowledge of the market. And then you have these folks that did a couple investments here and there, and then they have YouTube channels and they convince people what are smart buys and whatnot. I be careful of those people just because the stock market and these markets are a evil, cold business. Obviously, the man, the big boys, the suit and tie headwigs aren't trying to help the little man. We thought that with Robin Hood. We thought that they were trying to help the little man. And come to find out with the whole AMC stock, Nokia, that they really aren't. They really aren't trying to help the middleman. And so for all my people out there that are in that stock market, the cryptocurrency, that are shooting to the moon with Dogecoin, please, please make your money and get out of it as fast as you can, because it will tank. Because you know they always do these little strategic things. And obviously with Elon Musk, obviously, from what I heard or read, that Dogecoin or Dogecoin or however it's pronounced was a coin that was literally making fun of the cryptocurrency craze, that it was there to just mock it. And obviously it blew up and Elon Musk endorsed it. I know the guy that originally created it, I think... What was it? He created Dogecoin, or invested Dogecoin just so he can buy a Honda Civic. And so he saved up made enough profit in Dogecoin just to buy his Honda Civic. And he ended up selling it back in 2015. And come to find out that Dogecoin back in 2015, and he sold all his shares. Just think, if he was to hold on to his Dogecoin today, that it would be worth over $88 billion. He literally could have been worth more than the whole company of Honda altogether. So my man went from just trying to buy a Honda Civic to, if he just would have held on to it, could have bought the whole company of Honda. So that's something to keep in mind of. But for those people out there that are just hopping on the rocket and trying to shoot to the moon, please shoot to the moon real quick and get out before it tanks and you're left out in the dust, because you know the man is not always on your side and the little man is not there to win. But speaking of tank and tanking, as the NBA season comes to a end, comes to a close, I think there's about a handful of games left, and there's your playoff teams and your contenders, and then you have all the other dumpster fired franchises that are in the bottom. Just trying to possibly, most likely going to be in the lottery. And so common discussions when it comes to fans of these teams that are in the dumpster fire at the bottom, hoping to get some glimpse of hope, hoping that their teams can just lose out, keep losing, give themselves a chance to compete for the lottery and get as many lottery balls, increase their chances to get in the top three, the number one overall pick, and maybe drafting the next star in the making, freshman phenom, freshman star, or player from Europe, whatever the case may be. They want their teams to lose as much as possible just so they can increase their odds in the lottery, and hopefully they land their next LeBron James or their next Kevin Garnett or Kobe Bryant, or whoever the case may be, the next superstar, to give themselves a glimpse of hope in the future. And so they encourage their teams to tank and lose. But just because you get the number one overall pick doesn't always necessarily mean you're going to land a future star in the making. So for every LeBron James, Tracy McGrady, Kevin Garnett, Jason Tatum, whatever the case may be, top player, there's always you end up with a Kwame Brown. You end up with a Anthony Bennett, and your team continuously drafts in the lottery year in, year out. So the lottery is not always a guarantee. But fans are always writing their teams, and they're always telling their teams to tank. We should tank. Let's tank so we can get a higher pick. I've been hearing that a lot, rumbling with the Timberwolves. I'm a fan of Timberwolves. Fans are always continuously telling us to tank so we can get, well, in our case, not lose our pick. But you got other fans, oh, we should tank. We need a pick. Let's get a pick. We can land in this year's draft, you know, Cade Cunningham. You got Jalen Suggs, you got Mobley from USC, you got all these top players that fans just want to get their hands on and hope they can be a cornerstone to their franchise moving forward. But I have an issue with that. I have an issue with tanking, and I have an issue with how fans always encourage their teams to tank. Because not only are you asking these players to intentionally lose just for the sake of improving their fortunes in the future, you're intentionally telling these professional athletes to purposely lose. Sure, from a front office, a business standpoint, sure, tanking, if your season's already over, What do you gain from winning and hurting your chances of landing your next future superstar? Sure, I understand that. And sure, we've been blinded by, hey, you tank enough, hey, you might even get LeBron James. But the issue I have is you're telling these professional athletes, these athletes that have been continuously, that up until their time in the NBA have been, they're used to winning. These are highly competitive athletes. In order to be a professional athlete, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, football, whatever the sport, whatever you want to call it. These guys have been playing at the highest level in order, and just for them to be in these professional leagues, and you're talking about the 1% of all professional, all athletes that play in the world, you're telling these individuals, these players that are used to winning, they are so competitive. First of all, you have to be super competitive to even be to be a professional athlete. These guys have been winning from their high school, middle school days. They've been the best players on their teams. They've been winning their whole careers. Their whole up until the professional, collegiate, they have been winning. They are used to winning. Then all of a sudden, they join the NBA and you tell them, you know, you should lose. And the issue I have tanking is, sure, you may tank in a front office, but as a front office, you may not even be, the players might not even reap the benefits of the tank. The front offices, the general managers, the vice presidents of basketball operations aren't essentially given the opportunity to reap the benefits of the tank if you do it correctly or if you get lucky enough to stick around and watch your team finally put it together. For example, everyone has been rushing and use the Philadelphia Sixers as an example. Oh, look at them tank. Oh, they tank. Trust the process. And they ended up with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. And now they're the best team in the East, number one seed in the East, and they are a championship contender. And I ask you, in all those years they tanked, so going back, not only were they criticized for their tank, I mean, they back in the day were pathetic. That they were intentionally losing, that they were just so they can get enough lottery balls so they can eventually land their Joel Embiid and their Ben Simmons. But fans weren't going to the games because the teams were awful. So not only did it hurt you at that time that you weren't selling enough tickets to go to even watch this team because they were intentionally tanking, the mastermind behind the whole trust the process was Sam Hinkie, general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers by 8, 9, 10 years ago, who constructed this purposely tank, get rid of all your players, put the worst possible talent on the court so you ensure yourself the highest opportunity to lose. And he didn't even get to reap the benefits of that because he was fired from his job. And now they have Daryl Morey in there. And now even Brent Brown, he got fired. Now they have Doc Rivers. And now you have another regime in place that is reaping the benefits of that. And see, the only person that won in that situation was the owner. And look at the Minnesota Timberwolves. Sure, they have Cat, they have Anthony Edwards. They have D'Angelo Russell. They have a nice little future ahead of them. But since we traded Kevin Garnett back in 2000 and what was it, 8? We have been continuously in the lottery every year. Even last year, every year. And how many draft picks have they hit on? Because we keep telling them to keep on losing. Then you end up with your Andrew Wiggins. You end up with your Jared Culver's, and you end up with your, how many other picks could you name that we had that didn't pan out, fans? How many players do these pan out? So as all that tanking the Philadelphia 76ers did to eventually land two superstars, and mind you, Joel Embiid was always injured, so they didn't really start reaping the benefits of Joel Embiid up until now. Sam Hinkie didn't even get to reap the benefits. And so ask yourself this. I saw a tweet the other day scrolling on my timeline. A fan tweeted RJ Hamilton. I think he plays for the Detroit Pistons. And he tweeted him and say, why don't you guys keep losing so we can get the highest possible chance to get the number one or number two pick? And he saw it and he tweeted him back or quote retweeted him and said, no. And that is what I am saying. These players don't want to tank because they're highly competitive athletes, and they do not believe in tanking because they have been used to winning. They're hyperly competitive. They want to win. That they don't care that you want a top pick, because that top pick could arguably be somebody's job later in the future. Do you think those professional athletes want to tank and have this new young kid come in and possibly take his job, and they ship him out and cut him? Even in the NFL, for instance, those guys, you can have a bad team. You don't see those guys tanking, intentionally losing. Sure, their front offices might, if they're assured that they'll be around to put the team together, but they're not going to intentionally tank, because when you get a highest pick possible, you're going to draft these rookies, these top-end rookies, high in the draft, and they're eventually going to take somebody's job. And if you put yourself in these shoes, do you want to intentionally lose just so make fans happy? Because so that player, that rookie, can eventually take your job in the future? Ask yourself that. And what's going to happen when they tank and you land your next superstar in Cade Cunningham or Jalen Suggs? They come in, they take the thunder away from you, you get shipped out, and the fans are going to forget you ever played for them, and they're going to ride the new kid, whoever they draft. Ask yourself that. Do you purposely, at your job, purposely suck at your job, purposely, intentionally do your job incorrectly every single day so your company can come in and say, hey, you know what? You're struggling. We see you can't handle the work. Let's go, and we're going to put a job up, and we're going to get somebody in here to come help you. And then they bring in somebody, and then that person does such a good enough job in which, hey, they don't need you anymore. And now you got a track record. It's like, hey, you know what? Yeah, we don't need you. You can go. We got this new young whiz kid that can do it all for half the cost. Bye-bye. Or general manager. Well, thank you for bringing in this talent, but with your previous track record, you don't seem to be doing a good job. So bye-bye. Think about it that way. Look at it in your shoes. Sure, as a fan, and don't tell me this is not the same, because you can relate. This is their real life job, and you can correlate these professional athletes as this is their job, just like you. You don't intentionally sabotage your own job just so they can bring in new talent, and that could eventually replace you, could possibly replace you down the road, and they're paying this employee half the price because you're seniored and you make a little bit more money, and then they come in and get this, because rookies do make less than veterans, and then you bring in this hot new young hotshot college grad into your company, and he excels, and eventually he can also do your job while his job at the same time, and they go and replace you. Ask yourself this. Would you do that yourself before as a fan? So take your fan hat off and ask yourself, would you do that? So just think about it. And I am not a proponent of tanking. Timberwolves, if you have to lose your pick and you get a taste of victory, so be it. It's better to learn, because you don't just start winning because you add another player. Winning is a trait that you gain as you continuously do it. You don't just suck one year and the next year, oh yeah, we added this guy, we're just going to start winning. Because they've been saying that since 2004, 2008. With Minnesota Timberwolves, and they've been accumulating lottery picks, and they still have the same losing culture regardless. So all the fans out there that keep telling these players to tank, quit it, because they're not. These guys are competitors. And as a person that is highly competitive like me, that doesn't like losing, nobody wants to go to work knowing you're going to lose, knowing you're going to struggle. Nobody likes to do that. So don't ask them to do it. And if it works out that way, sure. But they're not going to do it because fans, people like you all, tell them to tank. So just quit it. Anyways, another little interesting nugget, or another point I heard as I was watching television comparing sports. I was listening to Kendrick Perkins, and they were discussing, obviously, who's likely to win more championships, LeBron James or Tom Brady. And he went on and, you know, ranted and did his little spiel, and he made a proclamation stating that it is easier to win a championship in the NFL than it is in the NBA. That it is harder to win a championship in the NBA. And he couldn't be so wrong in all aspects of his argument. Because, first of all, in basketball, you play a 7-game series. 9 times out of 10, the best team in the series will win. Will win 4 times. And with the NBA, all you have to do, if you have a bad game, game one, it's okay. We got game two. Even if you're down 2-0. See, in basketball, we've seen teams down 2-0 and win a series. We've seen even teams down 3-0 come back and go to game seven. We've seen teams down 3-1 and win the series. But in football, in the NFL, it's win or go home. You have an off day, you're gone. You're eliminated. You're going home. You might have been in the better team, but that team that you're playing comes in hot on a win streak and just has the right mojo, has the right little pixie dust, and they go on a little run, and they can go win the Super Bowl. See, in the NFL, we see a wild card team go in and win a Super Bowl. You don't see an 8 seed in the NBA or 7 seed in the NBA, even a 6 seed, even a 5 seed, you don't see them go and win the NBA championship. But in football, you can, because that's how hard it is to win in football, because not only of the nature of the game in football is so difficult that you can get injured. Your team can get depleted down the road, and now you are at a disadvantage because such a violent game. There's no such thing as taking nights off in the NBA where these guys get load management time off, where they're like, we can sacrifice this game. We already locked up the 1 or 2 seed. We're the best team anyways. We're going to win anyways. You can't do that in football because every game matters in football with seeding, home field advantage, weather. There's so many factors in football that it is so difficult to go win 3 straight in football because you may win a wild card game, but you're so beat up that you might not have it the next game. And you got to go play a team that had a bye. That is how difficult it is to win in football, that it is one and done. Just an off game. You could have an off game as a quarterback, or the next team you had played is just on fire. Their game plan works and you go bye-bye. How many times have we seen the number one overall seed in the NFL in the playoffs in football get eliminated by a wild card team or get eliminated before their first game just because they weren't prepared? It is so hard to win in football than it is in basketball. That is just idiotic. I know he says that because he's a talking head. He played in the NBA, so of course Kendrick Perkins is going to say that. But he is so wrong. I swear they just tell these guys to say whatever just because they're on television. But sometimes you got to have some common sense. Like, let's be real. There's at some point in time on television, which we'll get into that. But when it comes to television, you have these guys just say whatever they want just for ratings, and it takes away from common sense and logic, and it just makes my head hurt. I'm tired of hearing all these silly analysts and their stupid takes saying whatever they feel they want just so they can have a shock value so people can talk about them on Twitter. I get what they're doing. They say these wild things, and then you have people reacting and tweeting about them and giving them this attention. Skip Bayless made his whole career on television just saying crazy, idiotic things of such sort, and he gets reactions out of people, and now he moved all the way up saying all these crazy takes, and now he gets $8, $9 million a year talking takes on television. So I see why they do it, but at the same time, there's a time and place, and sometimes there's just got to be some logical sense. So I can see the BS from a mile away. I can see it because as an individual and me, such a diehard sports fan, such a fan that watches the game so cold-heartedly, so just all day, every day, I know when they're just talking just to talk. But please knock it off. Please. It is not easier to win a Super Bowl than it is to win an NBA championship. I've watched the NBA and the NFL for over 20 years, both of them religiously. It's not. So knock it off, Kendrick Perkins. I get it. And obviously with you taking these idiotic, congratulations to you and your new contract with ESPN. I can see why they resigned. You saying things, crazy things like that. Maybe that works for me one day. That I can just say crazy hot takes, knowing I'm wrong, but just saying it just to say it to garnish attention and hopefully land me a hot television deal or a podcast deal in the future. Maybe. We'll see. But anyways, that's all I got for y'all for today, for this episode. I appreciate y'all for listening. You can subscribe to my podcast to catch any latest updates and episodes. Also catch my previous episodes, Being Technical, available on all major platforms. Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts. You can also stream this straight from the Anchor app. Also follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Just Being Aaron. Give me a follow while you're at it. Appreciate y'all. Until next time, I'm out.
He didn't say a word. Technical foul, Wallace. He's gone.
Devil too close to me. Devil too close to me. I see my enemies turn friendly and get close to me. I seen a movement from a distance. They approach me. I don't trust nobody. The burner make them toast to me. Used to get blessings from my grandma before I leave out for my day. She the reason that I'm here. No, any day could be my day. Countless nights had situations that ain't almost go my way. I'm still standing by my mission. I'ma do this shit my way. Remember laying on my deathbed. I couldn't speak. My body bleeding. I was restless. They stuffed them tubes down through my throat cause I was breathless. My mama never left my side. She was my best friend. I seen the tears run out her eyes and it was endless. Ain't had no fear up in my heart. My soul was stressless. He done blessed me with a chance when I was helpless. I promise I would never lose and not forget this. Remember me said if I die today, know what I try to say. Hitting my grandma isn't straight. That shit's a tragedy. I see him hurting niggas down there causing casualties. This hell on earth, it ain't no place to raise a family. I pray the Lord to see. I pray my soul to keep. Say my three prayers every night before I go to sleep. I know I'm never gonna get what isn't supposed to be. But I need changes in my life, devil too close to me. Said I need changes in my life, no I need changes. So many people around me but they feel like strangers. Don't get too close to me, you know I get anxious. I seen the devil, I hope God sent me some angels. We in a crisis, walk outside and feel like we at war. My block is ISIS, turn the TV on and bodies dropping, we can't fight this. I survived the day but we don't treat it like it's priceless. When we at them funerals, the only time we righteous. Yeah, I need blessings on me. I know many niggas want their weapons on me. I know I've been paranoid, I watch them closely. But I just heard my nigga got shot by his homie. Damn, that shit so cold to me. Can't nobody tell me nothing, my hood still got hope in me. I just want my millions, don't want nobody to notice me. No killer, but no nigga getting close to me. Said if I die today, know what I try to say. Hitting my grandma isn't straight, that shit's a tragedy. I'm hunting niggas down there causing casualties. This hell on earth, it ain't no place to raise a family. I pray the Lord to see, I pray my soul to keep. Say my three prayers every night before I go to sleep. I know I'm never gonna get what isn't supposed to be. But I need changes in my life, devil too close to me.